Written for the Canterbury Festival in June of 1935, Murder in the Cathedral is the title of a famous play by the English poet T.S. Eliot about the real-life martyrdom of St. Thomas Becket on the 29th of December in 1170. In the first act of T.S. Eliot's play, which takes place only 27 days before Archbishop Thomas Becket is martyred in his own cathedral in Canterbury, England, St. Thomas is visited by three tempters, each tempting Thomas Becket with things that look very, very similar to the three temptations of Christ in the desert. The first tempter tries to tempt St. Thomas with earthly pleasures. The second tempter tries to tempt him with power and glory. The third tempter tries to tempt him not to trust the King of England and to betray the King. Now, like our blessed Lord, St. Thomas Becket successfully rebukes these three tempters. But then, a surprise fourth tempter walks in to tempt St. Thomas. Let's pick up the dialogue in the words of T.S. Eliot as the fourth tempter appears on stage. "Well done, Thomas. Your will is hard to bend, and with me beside you, you shall not lack a friend." Who are you? I expected three tempters, not four. "Do not be surprised to receive one more. Had I been expected, I'd been here before." Who are you? "As you do not know me, I do not need a name. And as you know me, that is why I came. You know me, but have never seen my face. To meet before was never time or place. Say what you came to say." And then the fourth tempter goes on to tempt St. Thomas Becket to become a martyr. Not for the honor and glory of God, but for Thomas's own honor and glory. Oh, the tempter is so subtle here. He's so subtle with his lies because he tells a half-truth. He tempted St. Thomas Becket to do the right thing for the wrong reason. Now, thanks be to God, St. Thomas Becket rebukes this fourth tempter. But I'd like to go back for a moment to how surprised St. Thomas was about seeing a fourth tempter. "Who are you?" he asks. "I expected three tempters, not four." St. Thomas, of course, was expecting to see three tempters because Jesus had three temptations. But poor St. Thomas Becket forgot about St. Luke. Although St. Matthew and St. Mark also recount the story of the temptations of Jesus by Satan in the desert, only St. Luke tells us a very important little detail. "When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time." It's a pretty good translation of the Latin there. "Diabolus recessit ab illo usque ad tempus." It's a good translation of the Latin. The devil receded, drew back from him for a time. For a time, he'd be back. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible translates it, "He departed from him until an opportune time." And we should really do the Spanish today. We know that our Holy Father last night had a beautiful Mass in La Ciudad de México, a la Basílica de la Virgen de Guadalupe, before that image of La Virgen de Guadalupe, la Emperatrix de todas las Américas. Today, he's in a suburb of Mexico City, offering Mass in a very rough neighborhood. And the Spanish gospel for that today is really beautiful. It says, a la espera de otra oportunidad. Isn't that stunning? A la espera de otra oportunidad. And he waited for another opportunity. He waited for another opportunity to tempt Jesus. The devil wasn't finished tempting Jesus with the three temptations. He was awaiting for another time to tempt him. When was that? When was that opportunity? I have an example. You remember the story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, where Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, confesses that Jesus is God, the Messiah, the Christos, the Anointed One. And it's at that moment that Jesus is inspired by the Holy Spirit for the very first time to tell his apostles that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer intensely by the chief priests, elders, and the scribes, that he would be tortured, that he would be put to death, and he'd be raised up on the third day. And Peter says, Jesus, I need to talk to you privately for a moment, please. And so Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, okay, man to man, I'd like to tell you that God forbid that such a thing would ever happen to you, that you should ever suffer. And Jesus turned to Peter. Do you remember what he said? He said, get behind me, Satan. You are not thinking as God does, but as men do. You are a stumbling block to me. You see, Satan came back to tempt Jesus to avoid the cross, to avoid suffering, to take the easy way to save humanity by avoiding the cross. And throughout Jesus' passion, all kinds of characters will appear, right? Satan will enter into Judas Iscariot, right? And Judas will tempt him. And people at the foot of the cross will tempt Jesus and say, get down from that cross, save yourself. All temptations to avoid the cross. Now, I think there are so many profound lessons here. First of all, the first lesson that I learned from all of this is that St. Thomas Becket should have expected his fourth tempter. St. Luke tells us he's going to be back. He should expect his fourth tempter. We should too. You know, I think in my life I've done a good job at resisting the temptations of the devil. But just when I'm not expecting it, just when I'm at my weakest, he comes back. I've swept out the devil and I think, woohoo, he's gone. But Jesus warns us in Luke's Gospel chapter 11. He says when you kick the devil out, he's going to be back with seven more demons worse than the first. We shouldn't be surprised that once we kick the devil out, that he's not going to come back with reinforcements. We should expect him to come back. He's always waiting for another opportunity to make us trip and fall. Until the moment that we die, he's always trying to tempt us. So we have to stay close to Jesus. We have to stay close to our prayer, fasting, and almsgiving that fortify us to resist these further temptations. And the temptations will be the same. He uses the same MO every time. He wants us to avoid the cross or to do it for the wrong reason. We just started Lent last Wednesday. That was a lot of work. We had to only eat one meal on Ash Wednesday. We had to give up meat. We started our Lenten sacrifice, whatever it is, of whatever we're giving up. And it's a lot of work to suffer, to embrace the cross. And the devil says, take the easy way. Even praying. Praying is arduous. To pray 15 minutes every day, to pray a half hour every day, to pray an hour every day, that's difficult, that's arduous, that's tough. Satan says, avoid the cross. Take the easy route. But Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. You know, in confirmation, the catechism says that we receive a specific grace in the sacrament of confirmation to not be ashamed of the cross. It's right there in the catechism. It's a special grace in confirmation so we're not ashamed of the cross, that we don't push it away and yet embrace it. And then the other temptation is to do our fasting and our abstinence and our penance and to suffer for the wrong reason, right? So I'm fasting this Lent so I can lose a little weight, so I can get into my prom dress at the end of April, so I can wear my swimming suit in June when I go to the beach. I'm fasting so I can show you how tough I am, what an iron will I have. I'm doing it for the wrong reason. We want to do the right thing, sacrifice, but for the right reason. I fast and sacrifice to show Jesus how much I love him. I fast and I sacrifice and I embrace my cross to be closer to Jesus. I embrace my suffering because I want to be close to Jesus in his suffering in the desert, in his agony in the garden, in his cross on Calvary. I embrace my suffering because I want to be up there with Mary and St. John the Apostle. May the Lord give us the grace during this Lenten season to reject and rebuke and renounce all of Satan's temptations and to embrace the cross for the right reasons, for the honor and glory of God. Amen.